corrido mucho, ¿no?
Egunon.
Sail ofizialeko Truman filmaren prentzaurrekoa egitera goaz orain.
Well, good morning. We're going to commence the press conference corresponding to the film of this official section called Truman, for which we've got the director, Seth Gay, the producer, Marta Esteban, and the actors and actress, Ricardo Darín, Javier Cámara, and Dolores Fonzi. Once the press conference has started, please let's not take any more photos. We've had a pretty good photo call already, and they're eagerly awaiting your first question here in the middle. Yes, there's a question in the middle there already. Yes?
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning.
Bueno, a mí me gustaría
well,
saber
I would like to know,
es una pregunta para
and it's a question for Javier Cámara and Ricardo Darín. How was that chemistry? How did you manage to make that chemistry work between you on the screen? How were the rehearsals and how was the work itself in shooting the film? And for Seth Gay, I would like to confirm that impression that I have, and that is to say that to talk about cancer and farewells and Truman's character, which is a bit of an excuse really to talk about friendship and friendships. And it's quite curious when I ask this question, when I say friendships, I'm not sure it's a coincidence that you say friendship, and we're talking about dangerous liaisons, which is the role that Mr. Darín plays. Well, okay, I'll start. Well, the chemistry, from my point of view, I was a bit afraid because we didn't know, we had never met before, and it was a hand, it was a one-on-one throughout the whole film. I admired Ricardo's work as well as the rest of the 40 million Spaniards that live in this country, and part of all the colleagues that work in our profession. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to lie as I've done before, because I was going to have sometimes 1 meter or 50 centimeters away. Ricardo's fantastic eyes, they're like a CAT scan. While I prepared, I did a lot of work, I studied a lot more than ever, and we had a marvelous time. And there's something that's marvelous with Ricardo, and that's how he generates a very pleasant working atmosphere, very relaxed, a lot of fun. It was a drama or a comedy drama. I don't know how you're going to define it, but we had a really good time on set, and it's I enjoyed it. It was a beautiful journey for me, this film. Truly, that's what I think. Well, what I can say is that, like Javier, with people like Javier, everything's easy. He talks about my energy, and I have to take all the rest of the morning to talk about his energy. So therefore, that was, it was love at first sight. I don't know. I'm not, what was the question about whether it's a, Truman is an excuse? Well, no, Sesk has had some pills. No. He's medicated. No. Dangerous liaisons, no, not at all. We wanted Ricardo, we were saying, well, what do we do? What time of play can we put on? And you like the idea of dressing up like a, as he did with a period piece. And I don't know why I thought about dangerous liaisons, and we set it up, and that's it. The truth is that Truman, what he does is explains the story through a friendship. It could have explained it through a family. It could have explained it through a family setting. But I'm not too sure. But that relationship between both men, it was a vehicle that allowed me to balance this dramatic and sad side of the film with a bit of humor. Okay. Congratulations to Sesk as well as to the great actors who have portrayed your roles in this film, Truman. These films, if they work, are especially due to the actors' work and because of the balance that you were talking, that you've managed to achieve, Sesk. And I think, and obviously Dolores as well, I haven't forgotten you as well, but it, for Ricardo as well as for Javier, it has to be very difficult to sort of leave to one side these characters that you've portrayed. When all of a sudden the story's over and you're finished and let's take a rest. When you're off camera, for example, when you're not shooting, it must have been very complex to leave these characters. I'm not too sure throughout your careers that you found roles that are so complex to portray. But could you explain what was it like off camera? How did you manage to get rid of the characters and then be yourselves? It's always difficult. That's why life is like cinema and vice versa. It looks easy, but it's difficult. When one has in hand an issue which is very deep, like in this film, albeit it's treated in the way that I imagine we've treated it, trying to not to exaggerate some of the situations, but it's complex, it's difficult. Internal fibers are involved, and in general they are painful. And our work is to try to portray this. We're generating a fiction story that paradoxically is closely linked to things that have happened to us and happened to us and to the people that we love. And you're permanently, everything's right on the tip of your skin, on the tip of your fingers. It happened with Javier and with Dolores all of a sudden. And unexpectedly, we're submerged in a scene with Cesc. I'm not going to talk about Cesc because Cesc was always there, but what had happened to us, and all of a sudden we were surprised by something that we had not planned, a longer pause than what we had agreed upon, and this could have meant that we had to stop the take because we started to cry. So therefore, to try to cope with this and to find the right situation so as to not fall into a sort of an emotional sea was a task that we all contributed to, the energy of each and every one of us. And we, most of our, of the shooting of this film, we were talking to each other and saying that it's very difficult to have remembered a film shoot which is as pleasant and with such good energy as this, as we had through the shooting of the film. But based upon my experience, excuse me, the main reason for this could occur is when things come down from the top down. In this case, it has to do with Cesc. Okay, we watched Barcelona Madrid football match with Ricardo. We tried to, but it was a very pleasant situation on set, and when we shot the film, we knew what we were filming, but the chemistry was perfect. Dolores turned up halfway when they'd already worked for 3 weeks intensely. Dolores came from shooting La Patota. That's all going to be presented. Oh, Paulina, sorry, of this film. I gave a different scenario, because there was three of them. And all of a sudden, we started the film in Amsterdam with a very complex scene between, especially between Ricardo and the actor that portrays his son. And that was very special. That linked the whole team together, in a very, the crew together, very positively. Yes, because it allowed us to see the story. When one's working in material of this nature, it's quite logical to imagine the intensity with which we tried to prepare ourselves, and all of the prior reading and correction and rehearsals. But to having started to shoot in Holland, it allowed us to take a step back from the story that we didn't imagine. It allowed us to visualize it from another angle, and that was very positive. For Cesc Gay, a couple of questions. Have you tried to make them be very different, because a cinema of two characters, they've got great different type of actors or characters. Javier's character and Ricardo Darín's character have nothing in common in order to have that grandiose sort of friendship that they have between themselves. Secondly, I think the film is very actor-driven, apart from Ricardo and Javier, who stand out because they are the leading actors. Everyone plays, even the dog, and it's not a joke, because I love the dog, for example. Even he's got some gestures. And Javier and Ricardo, to tell you whether these moments you miss the dog, because you've got to believe the characters, so therefore. Yes, I miss the dog on a day-to-day basis. I don't know. Yes, this meeting again here today is very beautiful for many things, but I miss them very much. When one finishes a film like this and you realize that the director goes to Barcelona, that the actors go to Argentina, and you stay at home, And we used to walk where we were. It was all in Chambéry, in the suburb of Chambéry in Madrid, apart from the week in Holland. And I walked to work every day when we were shooting. We ate in restaurants that I normally eat in. So we were in my neighborhood in Madrid, really. They left, and I got stuck on my own, and I felt very, very sad. And we created a WhatsApp group. And I shut up, stop talking to us through WhatsApp. And I insult them because they haven't invited me to the premiere in Argentina. Why didn't they take me? No, I've asked for Argentinian nationality. That's being processed because Ricardo, you can't forget that he's Spanish. So I want the same as him. No, but they're there. We see them. I miss them very much, all of them. Working like this is a pleasure. When you've got in front of you two actors who are marvelous, especially that you have admired for many times, and you've got a director who's got quite clear in his mind what he wants, but in turn, he's got an elastic band which allows you that in a certain take happens what happens is all of a sudden that take goes somewhere else, perhaps just surprises the director. Maybe it won't be useful, but it allows you to empty out everything that's been pressuring you for many years, and in the next take, it allows you to do it from another perspective. When those things happen in cinema, it's marvelous because you know you've got someone behind that's going to take care of you. So therefore, you can allow you to whatever happens, going to be whatever happens. You know, there's no time limits. This can be said in many ways. And when they say action, the actor starts to fly or takes flight. And Ricardo, remember, he's a pilot. He's a bomber pilot, so he allows you to fly very high and at the speed of sound and beyond. No more photos, please. You're a pilot, aren't you? You're a pilot. Yes, he's a pilot. He's a real pilot. That was a metaphor, really. Hi, good morning. I present an Arab journal, a magazine. Thank you very much for having taken us to the limits of human feeling, which was very sensitive, and for giving us another meaning of what death is all about. To get to prepare to die, which means that you have to live and coexist, and that death is an arm full of life, a weapon full of life. My first question to the director, how did the story emerge? Because why have you chosen this story amongst so many of your stories, and for the actors? And in order to portray your roles, how did you do that? And vis-a-vis the script, how did you think when the script to mix comedy smack bang in the middle of a tragedy? Thank you. Unfortunately, and as many of us, there are moments and you go through the experience of accompanying someone when someone has an illness and they die of a beloved person. When I went through this experience, I started to write more due to therapy than for anything else. But I started to write scenes and dialogues, what I felt and what I saw. Especially I was fascinated how people reacted, people close to them, like someone rejected the disease. And there was a lot of humor, for example, in a visit to that funeral company, which was one of the scenes in the film. When all of that happened, I kept it in a drawer, and I did Una Pistola en Ricardo Javier, Una Pistola en Cada Mano, which was a much lighter film. And then after this film, I got the material out of the drawer again, and I started to give it shape and to want to talk about it. And as someone in Toronto said the other day, when I came from Toronto, Cesc, everyone's got their own dead, and everyone's linked to their dead people with the people they love and their friends. And that's where the film stems from, of maps of losing fear of death. When you talk about things, you feel you lose the fear of them when you talk about it. And I needed to go through that process, and it was quite clear. And responding about the script, drama films, I don't like them very much. I think it's good to achieve a balance, and I thought it was always good to make the film a bit kinder, a bit more user-friendly. And that's what it was like, a a balancing act, really. We had to, some things happened. I when I wrote the script and then I shot the film, if you were too frivolous at certain moments, that wouldn't have been good. And if we got too intense, that wouldn't have been good. So therefore, it was, I had the situation, it was like trying to walk a tightrope and trying to keep the balance.
Well,
I got a bit stuck. Yes, the question was,
los roles.
Yes, our roles, the roles that we play, we're quite naturally, that is to say, they're not characters that are, despite that what it looks like, they're not too far away from us. A character in the film is an actor. I'm an actor. He's Argentinian. I'm Argentinian. The character in the film is going to die. So am I going to die, by the way. So therefore, there are a lot of points in common there to my real life. I think that's a marvelous answer. Why am I going to answer? Nothing else. I wanted to add, because, and as Dolores is here, perhaps no one's going to ask Dolores a question.
No,
for a time I had a lot of problems with her character because I did it in Spanish, but I wanted a distant cousin of some nature. I said, I don't know, and I was thinking about actresses, that we got fantastic actresses in Spain, but there was something, and then all of a sudden I realized that no, that she had to be an actress from Argentina, someone closer linked to Ricardo's character and had to have come here to Spain. But due to Leonor Golding, we met with Dolores in the premiere of Una Pistola en Cada Mano in Argentina, and that made us, and then I checked her through the internet, I saw some of her films, and then all of a sudden I realized she's a very good friend of Ricardo's. And then when these things happen, my instincts tell me, well, that's the way we should go, and that's why we chose her. And you've seen her work on the screen. That's it.
Hola.
I think it's important that this is film talks about freedom. Freedom of each of us to be able to decide about their own lives, how to live and how to die. And my character, in that sense, undoubtedly doesn't understand the decision of her cousin. She leaves, she'll stay alone when he stops living, and that's a big trauma for him. And why? The role. Listen, I wanted to answer the question. The difficult thing for me was, above all, to portray a person that didn't understand the decision of someone who's close to him. And it's very important, the role of the character, because it plays the role of the person who doesn't understand from the audience, perhaps, the person who doesn't understand in the audience who watches the film, and who accompanies this end of this life, or to finishing off this person's life, and how difficult to say farewell and to maintain someone who you love in that final those final stages. And above all, how difficult it is to understand another person in an intimate decision with themselves upon their own lives. And I think it's very important, the film is important because of that, because it teaches us how we can't judge someone else in their, how a person should live their life and how they should die, and the freedom that we should all have upon our own body. That's it. Cesc, you've made us, it's quite normal that you use an impressive cast of actors in your films. And in this film, specifically, it's a pleasure to see great actors and actresses that have very small scenes. Ruar, Franciero, Reya, Susi Sanchez, the great Susi Sanchez. As I can't talk about them all, could you talk about Ricardo especially, and especially Javier, because you've worked with Natalie Poussin on several occasions. What was it work like working with her? And whether you had a good time, because I know her, and she's a lovely lady and a lot of fun. With Natalie, yes. Well, with Natalie, yes, with all of them. The truth is, it's very difficult to say who's, there's no, everyone's perfect in this film, and we give the lists of the actors. Pedro Casablanc, who's the doctor, one scene, and Pedro is making it great with B de Bárcenas, and everyone's saying he's one of the main, and he will be nominated for the Goyas this year. Javier Gutierrez, the day that Cesc talked to him, he just received the Silver Shell last year. Natalie Poza, Agatha Roca, Elvira Minguez, all of the people in this film are marvelous. All of them did one scene. Eduard Fernandez, Luis Gomez. We were lucky to be able to get all of these people together. They turned up for one day. I think that's because they all like Cesc very much. And after reading the book and accepting this invitation, which is more of friendship than professional, they must have felt very moved by the film, by the story, and they were generous enough, great actors, and as you've just said, they came just to make one scene, and that is noticeable. You notice that because there's something that stands out in a film is when the supporting actors, the supporting actors are in the same way, on the same wavelength, and each and every one of them contributed something marvelously, their work. Something quite curious in the film is that some actors received only one scene and they didn't understand the whys and whereabouts. Well, practically all of them. They didn't understand what was going on because quite obviously you don't talk directly about his problem in many of the scenes. Natalie, for example, knew that it was a man who was trying to have his dog adopted, but he didn't know the dramatic background of that person. And that happened to all of the actors, entered into that subtle play. And you say ten sentences. There was a lot of generosity by many actors because they knew that scene was to share a few words with him, but not to talk about what's really important in the film. It was left to one side and to offer him the possibility of dissimulating his emotions, of trying to mask everything that he's going through. When they read the script, they said, okay, we're all instruments to help him to go towards that uncertainty, that uncomfortable, being uncomfortable to try to explain what's going on. So therefore, that's what I liked very much about it. And Natalie is one of them. She didn't know what's going on in the film, and she was generous enough to participate. Hi, coming back to the dog, I would like to know, it's very difficult to work with dogs and pets. What was it like with Javier and Ricardo? The dog is Berta. Troilo is the name of the dog, sorry. Troilo died 3 months ago, unfortunately. And Berta's turned up to see her father on screen. It was directed by, the dog was with Ricardo. I had nothing to do with it. He undertook that role. If there's any, are there any complaints, talk to him. And you've got a lot of humor with this because Ricardo, the truth is, he loves animals. And with that dog, he had an incredible, a special chemistry. And in fact, the first scene, when I see the dog, I was a bit afraid of the dog because he's a big dog. He's like a lion. And he walked like a lion, and moving his backside like a lion. You know, their dogs, you look at the background, if that bites me, it's going to hurt. But Ricardo has a special hand with a lot of pets, and I felt very comfortable with Ricardo as if I was one of his pets. He put my food on a little dish on the floor. He was very generous with me. He put his sunglasses on because he's very moved. I would say the dog was a very hard-working dog. It was a dog that worked with autistic children. And it's a bull mastiff. He's very patient, very calm. And it gave us the right energy, I think, in the film. It's a very sad-looking face, very beautiful, and it's as if he knew everything that was going on. The way the dog looks at you, for example, which is very beautiful, is that the film is is told by the way I look at him, my friend, and the way the dog looks. There are a lot of the looks that the dog makes, because it's a beautiful and very sad looking dog, and it's as if the dog understood exactly what was going on, and that was very beautiful. Let's leave the dog issue. No, because I know him, Ricardo's not going to be able to talk. Congratulations for this emotional move towards freedom, and actually Casablanca ends with the beginning of a deep friendship, and this is vice versa. But I would like to ask Ricardo Darín, well, okay, he's Argentinian, he's an actor, and immortal like all of them, whether this role you would have been able to portray it, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, or do you have to have a certain age to be able to portray this role? And also, quite, why Truman? That's the final bomb, but why is the dog called Truman? Congratulations, by the way. No, we started Truman Capote was on us while I was writing it. We liked the name. We started to call the dog Truman, and that it stuck, and we didn't go over it. But as we got to Ricardo, yes, they did. He said, no, they did, but Ricardo tried to change it. The dog was called Troilo, which is a very Argentinian name. Sí, sí. Yes, Rick or not? Yes. We tried it, but Truman was Truman. Excuse me, as regards to the question that you asked me, things happen not because of coincidence. Sorry about my glasses. You need a certain background and some time on this planet to be able to address and portray certain roles and certain issues. It's very difficult to go back, it's impossible back in time, but I imagine all of the factors that intervene in the choosing of an idea, as Cesc had went for the film, and the decision of friend actors that he called in to carry out this project, has to do with a meeting of people who have a certain background that converge at a certain point and that take us and make us believe that we're able to fulfill the objectives of this project, this film. It's impossible to know whether I've accepted or would have dared to portray a role of this nature 10 or 15 years ago, as you said. But perhaps I would have dared to do it at that time, and I probably would have made a mistake in doing so. But in this case, I knew I wasn't making a mistake, because I believed, I understood what Cesc was talking about when he, in the script, in the story. A question for Cesc Gay. Dolores mentioned this a moment ago. The issue of the film could be the freedom to choose of how to die. It's a very serious issue, and in fact that's what the film talks about, but it's not the subject matter, it's not the plot of the film. Whether you're afraid of making a film like Thesis, a thesis or defending the freedom to choose to die. No, I never addressed the film. That wasn't the film. It was another scene. It was something else that happens in the whole journey of the film, of that journey that takes you to when you die, and the idea that you can address it when you see someone die. Many things happen, and I understand what you can believe. But in any case, I must say something, that films finish, but I sincerely, I don't know what Julian's character will do. I don't know whether he's going to dare to do what he says he's going to do. That's what I like about the films. We didn't talk about this much with each other, but the film's finished. But then what happens? Three or four months later, how he's going to react or not. And I think that's okay. One expresses a point of view, and one has a will to do something, but that's not what the film's about. It didn't tell that story, but we feel it as such. But the interesting thing here is, I know that stories finish when the audience sees them. And thanks to having the freedom, and as a term that Dolores used, to be able to give significance of any things in art and culture, of what we read or that we live through, and it's impossible that in a story of this nature, each and every one of us have nothing to contribute as a viewer in the audience, and that's how the story becomes complete. And I think one of the freedoms precisely that can happen, that can take place, that despite the fact that Sisk had not deliberately chose a very thesis-like direction of how to address the subject matter in the film, I think all of us can have the freedom to understand it in a different way and to develop our own opinions as regards to it. And that is something that we should thank cinema and culture in general, that it offers us that freedom and that opportunity. Hi, congratulations for the film. I wanted to ask you whether you have a dog, but it's not necessary for me to ask you now. And as you say in the film, I think that Truman was like a child of yours, and I understand it this much more now after this press conference. I would like to ask Sisk if you wanted to make a hero of the main actor, turn him into a hero, and both of you to say, I don't know what you're going to generate a problem, because you deserve an exequo shell. 40 million Spaniards like, but there's 46 million of us that like Ricardo. I've left six out. I wonder where I'm leaving Catalonia out of Spain. I'm not too sure. No, that's not right. The 46 or 47 million like Ricardo, but with all of them that are coming along, 47 million, 15,000 immigrants, so therefore, no. Well, sorry, excuse me. It's been the same thing throughout the whole shooting of the film. I told Ricardo about you turned Truman into your son, and I understand that perfectly. Exequo award, I think you both deserve it because you portrayed a great role. And when you wanted to turn the character into Julian's character into a hero, because he's a hero for me. The problem is that Julian's character is very courageous and very brave. I don't read much, but I don't know where someone said, this is a man who's very courageous and very brave. Well, because you have to describe someone who confronts from solitude. He's a very lonely person. Julian is alone. He's Argentinian, who's alone in Madrid. His son's in Amsterdam. Quite fortunately, he's got Truman. And he's a very brave person. He's friendly, takes him to the funeral home. And he's a hero in that sense, I believe. I wish I was brave enough when that time comes. I'm not too sure. I wrote it from that perspective, yes. I think it's like how someone would like to behave at that moment in time. When one sees how people fight over inheritances, there are a lot of films of that nature when someone's getting ill and you see that the sons and daughters are fighting over the inheritance. When I saw this film, I said, look, this is going to teach me when I portray my role and when I act, it will be a moment, well, I hope in the very distant future, I will have to confront a certain type of situation of this nature. And there is also something which is also healing that you weren't there when you had to be there. And in this film, it's so compulsory to be there because you can't leave one sequence or you've got to be there all the time. And these are two men that it's much complicated for us. And all of a sudden, that are trying to organize things between each other. They're doing it with a certain dignity and difficulty, and above all, in my character, with a lot of respect. One of the most difficult phrases that was for me to say was, I'll be here if I want him. I'll come here if he wants me to be here. I said, how do you say that? It was one of the last sequences that we'd shot, and we'd already gone through the whole film. But I hope that when it happens, we can say these kinds of things. There's someone that needs you, and say, if you want me to be there, I'll be there. I'm in Canada, but if you call me, I'll come here. And I go, well, okay, well, you want record this because these are the lessons that you learn from cinema. That's why you dedicate yourself to this profession. When this happens, remember this. And I hope that several phrases and emotions from this film will accompany us. And one becomes an adult through not only through life, but what you learn in films. And in this, I'm taking with Ricardo and Sesc and Dolores several lessons that I've learned. And above all, of how to behave in a shoot and how to create a marvelous atmosphere. And that is, you require certain energy because you contribute a certain more energy that doesn't come back. But in this case, there was energy that was given by Ricardo, essentially speaking, and it was magical. In many of the moments were magical during the shoot. Ricardo, hi. Gonzalo Hurtado from Sinatoga, from Mexico. Curious, in previous interviews, you've talked about your feeling about Hollywood, that it doesn't attract you. And I'd like to know, well, this is the way you like to work outside of Argentina, these types of co-productions where you feel more comfortable. Could you talk about that a bit, please? Basically, stories are things that move me. If a story moves me and makes me, I'm interested and I feel part of it, albeit I may not participate in the project later, but at least that interested, it draws my attention. And it's like a magnet for me. But the rest is secondary. I have nothing against Hollywood. Everyone's created that kind of idea, mistaken idea, by the way, because I've had to answer questions like this several times in the past. And of course, the feeling is that I'm anti something. No, I'm anti nothing. Simply, the two opportunities that I was offered the work. I was simply not interested in what was offered to me in Hollywood. So therefore, sometimes I had the opportunity or a story was to emerge that provokes or caused, I'm not saying what caused and moved me in this film, Truman, but something that moves me, for example, I probably will analyze it. If I'm lucky, I'll be able to form part of a project, but I have nothing against it. No, I've got nothing against Hollywood. I would like to work a lot in Latin America, Mexico. I like very much Argentina. I hope to be able to visit the country. And taking, I'm very interested in Paraguay, Uruguay, Venezuela, especially Paraguay, Chile. All of it, Latin America, Horizontes Latinos, it's horrible because I'm going to shoot a film and I'm very lucky, but I would see Horizontes Latinos because there's great, all of the awards, all of the section is fantastic. And I said, what's happening in Latin America? What are we missing here? Quite fortunately, this festival has a lot of connections with all of those countries. It is great to see what's going on. And don't forget about us now, okay? Okay, we forget about you, but don't forget about us. Javier, I would like to say, in all of these countries, the film has been sold, so therefore, and they're going to probably send you there. Great. Australia. CESC will go to Australia, and you go to Latin America, it's been sold, and France, I'll go, I speak French as well. Now, what I wanted to say is the film has been very well received. Filmex, it's been sold to France, Italy, Germany, Australia, Brazil, Mexico, Latin America. It's completely Javier, so we'll be able to travel this year, okay? Cesc can take your suitcase, which is something that he likes. And we want to thank the media that have taken on the film. Fantastic. It's not a small budget film, but we needed help. It has been backed up, and Toronto, it went over marvelously well, and that's where we closed down the deals with France and Italy, and we finished with Germany and Scandinavian countries. So you'll be able to travel with the film. Latin America, me, okay? Okay, we've got to stop the press conference here. Thank you very much to all of you.